You really can't believe it.
I know.
It's just astounding. But, Brad, joining us now in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, State Representative Tom Delanicki, Republican, 14th District. That's South Windsor, where there are some cracked foundations. And, Tom, you're a member of the General Assembly's Insurance Committee. Has the committee talked about this in depth?
Yes, we've had discussions on this. South Windsor has been identified as a hot spot when it comes to the crumbling foundation issue. And it's an issue that I started dealing with first as mayor of the town of South Windsor and now here in the legislature. Representative Vail, who will be on a little bit later this morning, and I both put in bills to compel the insurance companies to cover the crumbling foundation, the peril of collapse issue going forward. But I think you need to take a perspective as to what occurred a number of years ago from the insurance industry. I want to say probably the first week that I was in the legislature, I had an executive from one of the major insurance companies come to my office to talk to me about a different issue. And I cornered him on the crumbling foundation issue. And he relayed an interesting story to me, which I think brings a lot into focus here. He talked about how they had lost a case in court and how they went to ISO, the Insurance Service Office, to get the language changed because they felt that they shouldn't have to cover it. And that really is the tale that very few people are talking about when it comes to the culpability. And in my opinion, yes, the insurance industry has a culpability here. Now, interestingly enough, not all insurance companies had covered it. But the ones that had covered it went to ISO and changed the language, I believe have a moral responsibility to address this issue.
Who changed the language?
ISO. Well, who changed it? Okay.
What person?
All right. What occurred there was a number of insurance companies went to the insurance commissioner and petitioned them for a language change.
The insurance commissioner for the state of Connecticut.
Right. And that has to be approved by the commissioner's office. And they were able to get that approved and as part of the process, you know, basically try to hold themselves harmless. But they have a responsibility here, a tremendous responsibility.
See, to me, I think this is the key component of the story.
Of course it is.
I agree.
Who was the commissioner?
I agree. I have to look that up. Again, this was back in the early 2000s.
But we can get the name.
We can get that information. That's not a problem.
So the commissioner's office, evidently,
correct,
the way you tell the story, was responsible to the insurance companies for changing the language.
Right. They had to buy into the agreement to change the language, to basically approve that change, and they did.
This, I'm just astounded by all of this.
I am, too.
So there's no public hearing when the insurance companies lobby the insurance commissioner for a language change in a policy like this?
Basically, what they do is they go to the insurance commission, they present what they want to have for new language, and the commissioner, you know, either approves or denies it, and this was apparently approved.
And actually knew what had happened to these homes.
Now, I can't say whether or not the insurance commissioner knew that or not.
Well, somebody
but
knew.
But the insurance companies, I mean, this company in particular, they knew they had a problem there in their view, and they were trying to get away from it as quickly as they could because they felt, in their words now, that they did not have a responsibility to cover it. Now, I disagree with that. You know, people pay their premiums in good faith, so that when a day comes when the peril of collapse occurs for their foundations, that they would be covered. And in this case, it was a situation where people paid their premiums in good faith. The coverage was changed. And let me back up for a second. Have you ever looked at the declarations that come to you about the changes of your policy? I'd like to think I'm a intelligent individual, but I take a look at it, and I almost need my attorney to take a look
at it
and tell me exactly what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
So when that was taken out, these people were basically short-circuited. Now, one thing to remember here. People are going and turning around and suing the insurance industry and insurance companies in particular. And typically they are getting a settlement with a gag order that they can't talk about that settlement. A member of the insurance lobby, when I spoke to them about it, informed me that about 50 people right now or so have pending cases. And he was surprised because I mentioned that to him when they came to me. You know, I've heard from virtually every lobbyist there is on both sides of the issue. And quite frankly, I'm firmly in Tim's camp here when it comes to the fact that the state needs to be part of the solution here. The state has a responsibility, and the state did allow those changes in the policies, and as such, they take on a level of responsibility there to make these people whole and to do something to address this issue.
You know, just listening to this and doing what we did previously, Dan, to get everybody here to start our investigation, I cannot understand, as a person, okay, that leadership. I'm talking to the governor, I'm talking to the leaders that we elected, why they wouldn't just take charge and say, we're going to the people, we're going to help them, and we'll take care of it somehow. They didn't do that.
Well,
Dan,
why not, Tom? You're in the state legislature. What's going on there?
Well, we had over 20 bills that were proposed to address various portions of this problem. We had a single bill, Senate Bill 906, that, or 806, I should say, that basically got killed in appropriations. And we have HB 7175, which we have a commitment from the majority leader, Matt Ritter, that it will be dealt with in the special session. But obviously, we haven't had a special session yet, so it has not been dealt with yet. He's given us his word that something would be done on this, and quite frankly, we're waiting to see what happens.
Well, as you know, though, that's become a political football because the Democrats, the majority party in the House, wants to include that in the overall budget, and the Republicans want to keep it separate.
And it should be. It should be a totally separate issue. This should not be a political football. This should be something dealt with on its own merits, individually, standalone, period. You know, these people have been living with this catastrophe for years. And to think that it could be tied up in some kind of political wrangling, I certainly hope not.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there's no question about it that these insurance companies are involved in it.
Well, yes, but Tom, you've also said something very fascinating to me, and that is, because we hear from a lot of our listeners, it's too bad what's happening to the homes in eastern Connecticut, but I, as a taxpayer who lives on the other side of the state, shouldn't be held liable. But essentially what you're saying is once the insurance commissioner signed off on this policy change, in effect, the state taxpayers do have a liability in this.
Well, not just from that perspective alone, but we have ramifications through the banking industry. If people start walking away from these homes, does anyone comprehend what the impact of we've got numbers of 5,000, 19,000, possibly 34,000 homes that are involved here? If people start walking away, this is going to have such a chilling effect on the banking industry in the state of Connecticut. Your banks, your credit unions, they're all going to have tremendous reserves put in there for loan losses. Does anyone have any idea what the ramifications can be here? We're talking about a meltdown in the banking industry and in the entire state.
And the
if
taxes
you have a worst
in
case
the towns.
Scenario. Right. Oh, and Brad, you're talking about grand lists in towns
right. That
are going down. And you know, these towns are hurting with what's being proposed by the governor. Can you imagine what the grand list impact is going to be overall when this truly, totally unfolds?
Linda, do you know of people who have walked away from their homes?
Oh, many, many over the years. Yeah, I've been in this for over 20 years, and so many people have just walked away from their houses. Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, what she just said? For 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
where the hell has the state been in those 20 years?
That's it.
And the state has known about this. We had a huge meeting with the state. You know, Tom was talking about when the AG's office changed the policy. I had a huge meeting on 4/15 of 03. In that meeting, we had the DCP was there, the AG's office was there, insurance and banking departments were there, town officials were there, state legislators, and Senator Tony Guglielmo, building associations, MODIS, and many homeowners were there.
By 2001. But that said, joining us now is State Representative Kurt Vail, Republican, 52nd District, Stafford, that area of the state. He's in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. And Kurt, first of all, thanks for being on the program. You're a member of the General Assembly's Insurance Committee. From your perspective, give us an overall view on all of this.
Well, in 2015, when George Colley broke the story, was the first time I had ever heard of it. And so that's maybe 14 years after Linda had dealt with the state. And the DCP started an investigation. It started, I'd say, probably in September of that year. And, you know, they said, well, let's do the investigation before we have any knee-jerk reactions. And they kind of, we waited until, I'd say, September of 2016 before we got any results from them. And the results we got were pretty much everything we had knew all along. So I feel like basically we wasted a year of time having some awareness of this. We passed a couple minor laws in 2016 to, you know, so that people can look. It was 18-month look-back period for FOI. We extended that out to 7 years so people would be more apt to come forward if they had the issue. So then in the process, you know, we all came together at the beginning of the year, and there were 20 different bills submitted. And there were so many different bills and so many different committees that they decided to have one huge public hearing. And in that public hearing, you know, we're supposed to discuss all the bills. So what happened the night before the public hearing is they only put up for the public hearing four different bills, were very generic bills. And I put in a bill, a peril collapse bill, that Representative Megna in the last session had put forward that would change the definition of collapse, that would almost force the insurance companies to have to pay it moving forward. So that bill wasn't part of the public hearing. So the insurance companies didn't have to come in and testify because they took that.
Why?
Out.
Why? Didn't the insurance companies have to come and testify?
Because the bills that they watered down and put in front of for the public hearing didn't require them to come testify.
Okay, who watered down the bills?
The committee chair people are the ones that decide what bills we hear in a public hearing.
And they watered them down.
Are they Democrats? I don't want to turn this into a political issue, but are they Democrats? Are they Republicans? Who was behind the watering down of these bills?
You know, they don't. It's four different committee chair people. The Senate has co-chairs because of the tied Senate, and then the House Democrats are the chairs. And so they made that decision to move forward. It was still a big public hearing, but, you know, I would look forward to really kind of digging into the insurance part of the issue. And one of the big things they say is that it's not a peril that they cover, so they don't charge for it. So my question to them was, so they don't have the money to pay for that when they changed the law so that they didn't have to cover it, did they decrease their premiums? Which they didn't.
Of course not.
So in my mind, they've been charging for it for the last 15 years. So
they don't.
It's frustrating. And then, so we didn't have any substantial bill. We all got together, and Representative Del Nicky talked earlier about Senate Bill 806. We got together. We put together a decent bill. It was an omnibus bill that handled a lot of the different issues. Part of it was we would put a $12 a year insurance surcharge on homeowners policies that would go into a pool to help. We were going to create a fund specifically for this, and whatever monies we got, whether it be federal, state, from the insurance companies, banks, whatever, would be put into this fund that would start to help people remediate their problems.
Can you legally do that, put a surcharge on someone's homeowner's insurance policy to cover something like that for essentially the common good?
Yes.
You can.
And so if we put that forward, again, it's a dollar a month. We thought that was reasonable. The money would go in. At least to get some started. So the people that homes are the most affected could start to get their homes fixed. And so we put that forward. It passed out of the Public Safety Committee 27-5. And this isn't a partisan issue. There's people on both sides of the issue that are for it and then some that are opposed to doing legislation. But it passed 27-5, which is pretty overwhelming. Then, you know, it went to the Senate. They made a change to it and had to send it to the Finance Committee. I guess that's where politics took over. Two different politicians had issues with another issue, and the bill never got called for a vote, and it died in the Finance Committee.
You see, Dan, what has happened is very obvious in just the time that these special people have been with us this morning, that the legislature, what all of us think they do, they don't do. And there is not the leadership when there is a crisis like this.
Well, let's ask Representative Vail.
There's no leadership.
Is there leadership? Well, is there not leadership? You're in there.
Well, the problem is there's a lot of people on both sides of this issue working hard to try to convince people in other parts of the state just what a big deal it is. I think that message is getting out there. It'll get out there more today when people listen into this. But it is the leadership that are making the decisions. They decide what bills get heard, what gets voted on. I think we could have passed the bill. I'm very confident that we would have passed. Would it have been unanimous? No. But we could have got something done. It would have been reasonable, and we could have moved forward. It wouldn't have solved all our problems, but at least it would have been a good, strong first step towards getting some resolution towards this. And this is an issue that we're going to be dealing with, I think, for years to come. As long as I'm elected, I'm sure I'll be dealing with this issue, and we'll try to figure it out and do it better every year. But the problem I get frustrated with, you know, if people don't agree that our idea is the best idea, then they can vote against it. But when politics get involved and gets put in front of us even taking a vote to see if it's something we can approve, that's when I get frustrated.
But what are we going to do? You just mentioned that it's going to take place years to come. What's going to happen to the folks that are sitting here, the folks that are out there that are lost their homes? Nobody wants to buy them. They can't sell them. I mean, I just think this is absolutely absurd when we could actually fix it if we wanted to and we cared that deeply about the people who live there.
I agree with you 100%, Brad. And me, I didn't have a political background before I got involved in politics. And you know, the general public has a general distrust of politicians. And you know, this is my second term in Hartford, and I've experienced it firsthand when it comes to this issue, that, you know, politics in Hartford gets put sometimes in front, in special interest, in front of what's best for the people and the citizens. And it's frustrating, but we have to keep fighting. We have to keep being loud. And, you know, maybe I'll be in leadership one day and I can make a change.
Are some of these politicians beholden to insurance companies? Are they part of the special interests, the insurance companies?
I would say yes.
Of course they are.
I mean, this is the insurance company.
I should have answered that question when we went on the air this morning.
Well,
the insurance companies, you bet
they are. But I wanted to get the representative on the record.
You're on the record and I'm on the record, Dan.